Thursday afternoon. The story that was quite a tragic story. A young man by the name of Michael Thompson, who had overdosed on a prescription drug. This was back in March of this year. Well, his father says that 2 days after his son died, there was something that arrived in the mail. And he opened that, and inside was a small plastic sleeve. Inside of that sleeve was a white powder. They did a little bit of searching. They found out that it was a drug. And that has some people asking, how can this be? How can you get something in the mail, potentially fatal, and doctors not involved? Amy Graves is with the organization Get Prescription Drugs Off the Street. She's been advocating on behalf of this issue for some time, and she is our guest on this program right now. Amy Graves, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Were you familiar with the story of Michael Thompson?
Yes, I have been following it since CBC covered it initially after his death.
So here's a young man who he had a back, I believe he was in a car accident, so he did have at least a legal reason to have narcotics. He had a reason to have those in his possession, but he was killed by a combination of fentanyl and an antidepressant. And then as we hear, his father finds this in the mail a few days later. Is this happening a lot here in Nova Scotia?
This is the first time I've heard of an individual receiving a package of a controlled substance from what is allegedly a legitimate company. I have heard of and followed cases through the courts where an individual is obtaining a prescription and then mailing that prescription personally to another person to traffic. This is the first time I've heard of this in Nova Scotia actually coming from, I understand it's not a pharmaceutical company per se, but a company that has different chemical compounds for sale for research. This is the first time I've heard of a company of that type allegedly mailing this type of controlled substance to an individual.
I don't know if I've ever heard of lorazepam. Have you?
Yes. Oh, definitely. It's in the benzodiazepine class. Benzos are actually quite commonly abused, and people are exposed to them through not even abuse, but they're very highly prescribed in Nova Scotia. Actually, there was some media attention a couple months back that benzos in some parts of Nova Scotia have surpassed opioids in cause of death and overdoses. I believe in Cape Breton last year, benzodiazepines actually killed more people than opioids, whereas opioids were kind of leading. And right now, I know the government was going to start monitoring benzodiazepines more closely with the prescription monitoring program, but I'm not sure if that's become effective yet or not.
Right. And is this, what kind of a drug is this? You seem to know which category it's in. What does that, taking it, what are people, why would someone be prescribed this?
It's usually prescribed for anxiety, and I've also seen it prescribed. People who are detoxing from alcohol often can have seizures and other withdrawal-related symptoms. And sometimes benzodiazepines are given to people who are withdrawing to prevent those types of symptoms. The most common, anxiety. But there have been some alarms raised that these are not effective for long-term use. Like sometimes they're prescribed too. If somebody has a huge fear of dental procedures, you might be given a benzodiazepine prior to your procedure so you're more comfortable and can get through it. It reduces anxiety. But now they're being seen more commonly prescribed over long periods of time, and people are becoming dependent, and the negative effects of these drugs are outweighing the positive over a long period of time. And now they do have street value as well. Your Valium, Ativan, these are some names of benzodiazepines that are commonly used and now people are seeking on the street. And I think there's a common theme here, even with opioids, benzodiazepines. People are being introduced to these drugs often through the medical physicians for legitimate issues. And then over time, when they become dependent or can no longer, you know, it's no longer working that the dose they're on, then they turn to the street. Then they look for other avenues to obtain these drugs. And this gives the illicit drug dealers and the street market, it gives them a market to sell to. It gives them a group of people and a new drug to peddle. So, but I really feel like people are exposed often through no fault of their own, simply by going to their doctor. And, you know, polysubstance abuse can develop too. Somebody who becomes addicted to one drug then has very negative symptoms as a result and seek another drug, such as, you know, a benzodiazepine to reduce their anxiety due to their withdrawal symptoms of opioids. It's kind of a vicious cycle that's very hard to get out of.
We're speaking with Amy Graves. She's with the organization Get Prescription Drugs Off the Street. So if many of the people who become dependent on these have been introduced to them by a physician, and this gentleman, this Tom Thompson, is suggesting that there's a possibility his son actually didn't go through a pharmacy or didn't go through a doctor and actually went to a company that supplies chemicals for research. And the RCMP are right now looking into these allegations. That is pretty scary, isn't it?
For sure. I mean, these are supposed to be controlled drugs. We have a CDSA, the Controlled Drugs and Substances Act. We're supposed to be monitoring and regulating. And I think also the introduction of fentanyl, these illicit fentanyl pills, we saw that somebody had tried to import powdered fentanyl to Halifax, that man who was charged back in the summer via mail. Mm-hmm. I think this is now that doctors are becoming slowly more cognizant to the fact of prescribing is slowly starting to change. We will see people trying to obtain these drugs who have already been exposed. There's already that population of people who are dependent. And unless there's available treatment, readily available for those people to access, you know, they will have to turn to another source. And I can see this option of mail, trafficking through the mail, becoming more popular as physicians change their prescribing practices.
The organization you're involved with, Get Prescription Drugs Off the Street, does this change your focus? Does this change anything within your organization to know that perhaps it's not just someone who is selling an excess prescription to someone they know or perhaps someone they don't know, that it, again, could be coming from a company, from a corporation?
Certainly. I mean, if after this investigation is completed and it turns out that, you know, this supposedly legitimate company is basically trafficking, because as far as I'm aware, this gentleman did not have documentation or was actually using the drug, you know what I mean, for what this company is supposed to be supplying it for chemical research. If it's just, you know, they're not doing their checks and balances, and there's a serious problem there, and they should be held accountable for that. And we also need to evaluate how these businesses are being regulated. Like, who is regulating RECHEM if these allegations turn out to be true and they are supplying people with these drugs through the mail? Who is doing the checks and balances? Who is holding them accountable and who is regulating them? I think that will be the big question.
There always seems to be a new trend or new drug, a new something that comes along. Does that frustrate you, Amy? I know you've been working hard at this for several years now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that we'll never be drug-free. There's always going to be an illicit market for something. I think what really frustrates me with the prescription drug epidemic is that it is not the drug cartels. Well, they do profit now, but originally this began because big pharma, big business, they are profiting off what is supposed to be a controlled substance. Until recently, with the fentanyl, illicit fentanyl pills, prescription opioids were not manufactured in someone's basement. They weren't grown in someone's backyard. They were legitimately coming from pharmaceutical companies through physicians. And I think if this problem was treated as serious as what it was, and the resources were available for the people in need in the beginning and still now, and it didn't reach such epidemic proportions, there wouldn't be this market for illicit drug dealers or companies through the mail. There wouldn't be such a large portion of the population already exposed, addicted, and dependent. And now it's kind of like the horse is out of the barn, and we're trying to catch up. For instance, since 2006, opioid management for, or sorry, withdrawal management for opioid dependency in Nova Scotia has increased 112% since 2006, the amount of people seeking withdrawal management for opioids. So it's like playing a catch-up game. You know, where are we going to get these resources? Are we going to keep trying to implement more addiction services, trying to get more access to harm reduction? At what point are we going to be able to prevent people from being exposed so these numbers don't continue to climb? It has to be a multifaceted approach. And this is something we can somewhat control. We can control our prescribing practices and how people are exposed to these substances, and in hopes reduce the negative outcomes that people are having, such as Michael Thompson. I mean, he originally was exposed through a prescription for legitimate pain, but now we're finding out that opioids are not even recommended for chronic pain because people become dependent, and this chain of events seems to be a common theme where these drugs don't treat the pain anymore, but people are still dependent and can't get the help they need when they need it.
Absolutely. Well, Amy Graves, thank you for adding your voice to this conversation this afternoon, and keep up the good work.
Thanks. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Amy Graves is with Get Prescription Drugs Off the Street, and this organization has been working towards trying to unravel what we've been talking about. This dad, this father, Tom Thompson, says that just after his son had overdosed on prescription drugs, he went to the mail and found this chemical had been mailed to his son. It's quite shocking to think that all you got to do is have.